If I say that to you, what would you say, you know, the thing that's been the biggest new patient generating thing for you has been, what has it been?
Health talk.
Welcome to this very exciting edition of the Practice Growth Summit. I am super excited to have a giant of the profession on this issue, if you will. And he's president of Lifewish University right now. He's been the busiest practice in Southern California for years back in the day, and he's helped docs all over the world grow exponentially. So I'm so excited to introduce you to him. So I'm gonna go ahead and just let him tell you a little bit about himself, how he started in chiropractic, how many years he's been in practice, and back in the early days. So Dr. Ron Oberstein, welcome.
Hey, hi, Ryan. Thank you for that introduction. I'm going to let you ask me the questions so I don't just ramble on because...
So first of all, just tell us a little bit about, you know, now we see Dr. Ron Oberstein as president of Lifewish University, and we all know that you run some of the busiest practices in the world. But tell us about how you first started. Where was your first practice? Where did you open your first practice? What was it like in the beginning for you?
You know, when I opened my first practice, it was in 1981. And it was 1982. I graduated in October of 81. And I went out to Seattle, Washington. I graduated from Life College. I learned under Dr. Sid Williams. And I went out to Seattle, Washington to do an associateship, and then I went to Massachusetts, to Boston, to practice, to set up my own practice. And back in those days, there wasn't like a lot of associates available. It wasn't like there is now, where there was like, you know, tons of offices. You just kind of just opened your doors up, you know, and you put a shingle up, and literally put a shingle up, you know. And that's what I did. I went to a very small town called Lexington, just outside of Boston. There were 30,000 people in the town. There were four other chiropractors that were there. All four of them told me that it was, you know, pretty oversaturated, that they were excited that I was going to be practicing in the area, but it might be good to go to another town. I didn't choose the town. You know, the location kind of chose me. I just drove around in the middle of the night for probably about 2 weeks. I get up at like 3 a.m. And when I was really quiet, and I would just drive, and wherever my car took me, and I kept landing at this certain area. And that's where I ended up finding a place to practice, you know? And so I just kind of let innate guide me on that level. And so I opened my doors there, had no idea what I was doing. I was really well prepared to adjust. I could communicate chiropractic really, really well. I just didn't know anything about business. I had no idea about, you know, putting people on programs of care, a little bit, but not a big idea on it. My certainty on that level wasn't super strong, but I had a desire to share chiropractic, and that's what I wanted to do. When I was building the practice out, I told myself I was going to survey homes in the area. So I surveyed, I think maybe 1,000 homes. I would literally go and knock on the door, and I'd let them know that I'm, you know, my name is Ron Oberstein. I'm a chiropractor. I'm opening up down the street. I want to get to know my community, and I just want to ask you a few questions. Would you mind taking a 30-second survey? And every single person said yes. And I'd ask them 3 or 4 questions. You know, they were loaded, you know, of course, like, you know, would you like to see more natural health care and da, 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 what's most, and that kind of thing. And then I said to them, and at the end, I'd say, would you like, I'd love to get you the results of the survey, because I'm surveying 1,000 families. And if you would, I already have your address. I'm standing at their door, right? There was no internet back then. So I would just say, I have your address. If you just like to give me your name, I can address it to you. So they give me their name. And then at the end, I sent them all the results. And I offered them all, you know, examinations that come in to visit me. Years later, people would come in. And
wow.
Literally, Ryan, they'd come in years later. Forget about the coupon. That was already done with.
Yeah.
And we look at each other and they go, I know you.
Yeah.
I go, where do we know each other from? And we go, was it the gym? Is it where we work out? Like, where was, you know, it turns out I surveyed them like 18 months earlier, you know, kind of thing. I just put it out there, you know, one of the things that I was taught was, you know, if you want to grow something and grow it big, you need to get out of your head.
Yeah.
You can't overthink it. And you really need to get into a service mode, and that sometimes doing things that aren't necessarily comfortable, educatedly, you know, but it's really doing whatever it is that can get that individual person out of their headspace, you know, that would want to stop them or make them overthink it, and get them into that place of saying, you know, I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to serve people because that's what my job is, right? And that's the mindset that I grew up with. So I grew a great practice in Boston. And probably about 3.5 years later, I just knew I didn't want to be in the snow anymore. I grew up in Michigan in the snow, and I just realized I wanted to be in warmer weather. So I brought on an associate doctor whose plan was to buy my practice. And he ended up buying, we transitioned it. He bought the practice. He lost one patient in the whole transition.
Wow.
It was incredible. It was just really beautiful. And I sold it. And I decided I was going to go to San Diego, and I ended up taking a year off, and I did what BJ did. I just traveled around the world. I bought a one-way ticket around the world, and I could only go west, and that's what I did. And I traveled around the world, came back, and opened up the practice in San Diego. Yeah,
very cool. So tell us, do you have any stats? Interestingly, I know probably it's so long time ago now, but how many of those people that you surveyed actually immediately came in of the thousands?
You know, I don't know. I don't think a lot of them did immediately. Yeah. I don't think a lot of them did, but I will tell you this. The first week of practice, I gave a health talk, and because I've never missed a health talk. We give health talks every week, you know, up to this day in my practice in San Diego, which is no longer my practice. My youngest daughter, Sydney, and her husband, James, have taken it over. They still do health talks every week. And it's our biggest form of referral to be able to tell the story to our new patients and be able to have them have an opportunity to refer family and friends in. And, you know, it's just, it's the only way that I've known to do it. And they get to know who I am and or who Sydney and James are now, or who the doctors that are listening. It doesn't take a long time to give a talk. It's 30 minutes. But anyways, I gave a talk in Boston at the practice in Lexington, Massachusetts. And I got to tell you, it was one of the best talks I ever gave. I mean, we were in a historic building. I had 6 chairs in my reception room. It was an old house. So it was like the living room, a small living room with a fireplace where we built the front desk. And then I had 6 chairs in there. We had, I don't know, 20 people that were crammed in there. They even brought a guy in a wheelchair that they had to like take the wheelchair and turn it like this to get it while he was in the chair, because it wasn't handicap accessible. It was a historic building. And I have to tell you, I really mean this, Ryan. I'm not boasting. I gave probably one of the best talks I ever gave. They gave me a standing ovation, literally, at that talk, my very first talk. And I put an ad in the paper, everything you wanted to know about chiropractic, about health, but were afraid to ask, you know, and people came, you know, and they left. And I was like, you know, they gave me a standing ovation. They were excited. They left. And I was in there alone, you know, afterwards. I said, well, I gave a great talk, but I had nothing to show for it. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know how to close. You know, I didn't know what to do. I was never taught how to do that.
No.
But I grew it. You know, I just started telling the story. Some of those people came back and they came in, and then, you know, it started growing. I got that practice, you know, up to like in those days, 300 a week was like a big practice, you know, 3.5 days a week, you know, and I kind of hit that level. But maybe if the mindset would have been bigger, a bigger vision, you know, would have created a bigger result. But, you know, in those days, it was kind of where it was at. And that's kind of how I did it. And I just stay with my principles of lasting purpose, you know, give, do, love, and serve.
You know, Dr. Rana, I want to move across to, in a moment, to the San Diego practice, and some of your, you know, the things that have worked for you long term. But before I do that, I want to ask you, what was your biggest mistake you made right in the beginning? Everything happens for us, right? So it's like our journey is our journey. It wouldn't change anything. But if you had to go back now and tell your younger self, opening practice, what was probably the biggest mistake that you made, or even the mistake you see, or wish that one thing that you had known back then? What would you say if I say that to you?
You know, I wouldn't change it just because of the times that we had back then, you know, but if I was to do it over right now,
yes,
what I would do is I would spend some time in people's offices and really learn, you know, what we're doing at Life West right now is we're setting up a preceptor program. Our students our last quarter can go out and learn from doctors and work in their offices for a quarter, you know, anywhere in the country or anywhere around the world, probably, that they can go to. And it's, that's what I would do. I would spend more time in doctors. It just wasn't available back in the 80s, you know, in the early 80s. It wasn't like there was doctors on every corner, and it wasn't as, it was just different. You know, the mindset was a little different. So, but, you know, you take the time while you're in school to learn what you need to learn, and you do the same thing, you know, when you get out for maybe a month or two, or maybe do a boot camp with a doctor for 6 months if you don't feel you have it. You know, I feel the school should be preparing them, though, and that's what we're doing at Life West right now. So we set up something called our clinically inspired learning track, and it's a new curriculum, because we're using the same curriculum, but it's a new educational track that we're doing, where our students are getting in the clinic in second quarter doing observations, and they're touching patients earlier, and they got almost a whole year of clinical experience, more than we've had previously. And it's just really kind of setting them up for clinical success, because listen, let's face it, 99% of our students, are going to be graduating doctors, are going to be clinicians, you know, 99.9 probably. Not many are going to necessarily go into research, which we love them to. But, you know, we're really focusing on the clinically inspired learning, where they're learning the clinical aspects, not in their last year so much, but all the way through. And they're getting the academics to support it. But that's what I would probably change, is just spending time, you know, finding those doctors to go and intern with, to be able to learn those idiosyncrasies and the things that you just aren't going to pick up in the colleges, which you just can't learn in the colleges. They don't have the time to actually teach it in the colleges, the real life experiences, you know, that you can get.
Okay, very cool, very cool. I would say, you know, then, you know, when you moved across to San Diego and you started your practice, and not even then, but I've actually asked this question to almost everyone on the summit. It's been so interesting to see the answers. And, you know, we spent our 8 practices, we spent $150,000 on Facebook last year, and we do other things, we do et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes I actually think that online stuff can be distracting, because what I've seen in when I work with my docs and some of the docs I help is that sometimes the allure of the silver bullet that's going to save them, save their practice, is sometimes too much to resist. So when I ask, if I ask you, what's been the thing that you've done? You've already alluded to it a little bit with the health talks, but health talks and something else, what's been the thing that's been your biggest bank or low hanging fruit, or the thing that you've done most consistently over all the years of running practices? If I say that to you, what would you say, you know, the thing that's been the biggest new patient generating thing for you has been, what has it been?
Health talk.
Health talk. Every single, what day of the week did you do it?
Every week. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday nights, depending what the months look like, but usually Wednesday nights, and without a doubt, health talks. I mean, it's the way you can grow your practice. I mean, you've got a half hour with your people to share what chiropractic is, but you can also share who you are.
Got it.
So they really get your commitment, you know, who you are. I always ended it the same way. I would always say, you know, that I am here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for you.
Got it.
I told them, how many doctors do you have that are available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? And they'd all shake their head saying, none. I go, no, you got one, at least. You got four in my office, you know? And I would tell them that. I'd say, but here's the deal. If you call me on Monday because, you know, if you miss your appointment on Monday because you went to the baseball game, and on Tuesday because your poodle needed to get their nails trimmed, on Wednesday because, you know, you just were too tired, and on Thursday because, you know, you had a better, you know, you were going out for dinner, and Friday because of whatever reason, and you call me on Saturday, you know what I'm going to tell you? I'll see you Monday. Because I don't want to pull them or push them. I'm not going to create codependency. But if they're doing what it takes, if you're willing to do everything it takes to regain your health and get you to a place that you are the healthiest you've been, so you can stay at your optimal level, we will do everything that it takes. We will walk side by side or one step ahead of you. That's my commitment. But I won't push you or pull you, you know, because that creates codependency. I won't do that. And we tell them right off the bat that we are there for them. And they get our commitment. And they get how committed we are to their families.
Nice.
And why it's important to bring them in. And that why it's important to not let them stay home and let their husbands or their uncles or their aunts or their nieces or their nephews or their grandchildren. That's how you build a family practice. You build it, you know, by talking and by sharing the story. There's nothing you can do that will ever replace that, even if you're doing internet, which I think is phenomenal. You know, I don't know much about it. Wasn't my time. But if you're doing it, it's great. If it works, it bring them in. But you still got to educate them. You still got to tell them the story.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I always say to everyone, if I start all over again, one office, I would just talk everywhere. So in-house office, but for me, so we do anywhere from 3 to 4 events in businesses, in companies, local businesses a week. And that's been huge for us, as well as driving people into offices from Facebook. But one of the things I wanted to ask you specifically about the health talk that you did was give us the little, because everyone does it a little bit differently. So did you asked all new patients in the beginning of their journey had to attend a health talk. And then the big drive was also to get some family members to come with. So tell us some little tips there, A, to help with show up rates and making sure they showed up to the actual talk. And then how did you get family members to come along? What were some little secret tips there?
Yeah, so what you do is this. Number one, at your report of findings, when you give your report, you share with them what's going on, but then you tell them when they come, you know, obviously I can't give you everything right now. We just went over everything that about your health. But we have other care that we want you to understand that we're going to have you be doing at home, right? You know, just simple tips and things like that. And so we let them know that we hold a class on Wednesday night. We expect all of our patients who are committed to getting their health back to attend it. And it doesn't take long. You're going to have your adjustment right before them. So, you know, that we have a special time for your adjustment when you come in. So you might be coming in at 6:30 for your adjustment. We go right into the class. So, you know, if I have 8 people, 7 people, 6 people, we tell them to bring their spouse and bring whoever. But if we have people who are there, then we get them all adjusted at, you know, right before that. And then what would happen is my associate doctor or even my team member, they could start off. We just show them some basic postural things to look out for. We go over a booklet that we give them, show them where their subluxations are and, you know, areas that the nerves go to. We educate them, right? We just show them these certain things that they get so they actually take something home. And then when it's my turn to come out, I come out and I just tell them the chiropractic story and tell them, well, let's share about so I can educate you and give you more information so you can become the best you can possibly be, because that's why you're here, and explain to you more about what chiropractic is. So that's what we did.
And with guests joining, did you offer them anything on the day?
Yeah. So what we did was this, we had a little card that went under their chair. Yeah. And at the end of the talk, you know, I would tell at the very beginning of the talk, Ryan, I would pull out when I came out, I'd tell them, don't pick these up underneath your chair, but this is underneath your chair. There's a yellow card. And I explained to them what it is. And I said, at the end tonight, you know, when we're done, people are going to be going through your head, your brother, your sister, your kids, your husband, your wife, your significant other, whoever it might be, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, whoever it might be, your coworkers. Don't dismiss them, because at the end, you're going to have, I'm going to give you an offer that you'll be able to bring them into the office so they can have a chance to get their spine checked also. Okay. But I'll go over it with you later. Don't worry about it. So that's it. Nice. So I introduced it. So I'm not selling them at the end, right? Then at the end, when I'm done, and I share with them 2 questions at the end. Number one, if what I said tonight was true, when do you think would be the best time to have your nervous system checked for vertebral subluxation? And if they got it, they should either say right away, at birth, you know, whatever it might be, if they got it, right? And I tell them exactly, it's exactly it. Second question, once you get your nervous system functioning to the best of its ability and you're achieving your optimal state of health that you're going to continually achieve, how long do you want to keep your nervous system working like that? And they usually say, for the rest of my life.
Of course.
And I go, perfect, that's exactly it. And I go, but how many times have you ever heard this? Oh, once you go to a chiropractor, they want you to come back the rest of your life. And they all go, yeah, I heard that. I go, and you know what I tell them? You're darn straight. Because you should be seeing us. You should be going, whether it's to me or anywhere else that you live, if I do my job correctly, you should be maintaining your nervous system. It's the most important organ in your body. You should maintain it the rest of your life. Not coming in here 3 times a week or 2 times, but whatever it is for you to maintain it based on your lifestyle and whatever's happening in your spine and your nervous system, it'd be the greatest thing you can do. And that's what I tell them. And then I go on to say to them this, and then they get it. And I say, and remember earlier I talked about your friends and family. Now you have a chance to share what's called the gift of life and health. Nice. So reach down, pick up those cards. And I tell them, put your name on the top. They literally start writing it. You get them to write. You know, there's a pen underneath there. They start to write. And I say, good. I say, now write down anyone in your family. Just list. It goes family members, children, you know, friends and coworkers, you know, and they just list it off and they just start writing it down. I go, look, you know, we're not going to call them. We're going to give you something to give to them. And then that'll enable them to come in, but they have until the end of next week.
Nice.
Coupon. It was just a coupon. If they don't use it, unless they call, they can call.
Nice. So nice little deadline there.
Absolutely.
You bet. Procrastinate. You know what's interesting is first of all, anyone listening to this right now, you know, we always talk about this concept of the slight edge. You know, it's that one little thing at every conference, that one little thing at every talk, it's that one little thing on every summit interview. And now I'm listening to this now, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I hope everyone's taking notes. I'm just sitting there going, I hope you're taking notes, because those little, just those nuances, those phrases, that phrase in that way, that sets up the, if you will, it's not even a closer, because it's not a selling thing because of the way it's structured. But there was gold there, so thank you so much. And it's interesting. One of the interviews we did was with Dr. Paul Reed.
Yeah.
So my question is a little bit loaded in the way of investing in yourself. But I asked Dr. Paul Reed, you know, what was it like for you in the beginning? And a lot of the stories were, you know, I was like yours. You see, you know, I didn't know anything about business, and I didn't know about this. And some of the docs have said, you know, it was a disaster in the beginning. It was interesting. Dr. Paul Reed was one of the docs that he was like, honestly, Ryan, my practice rocked from the word go. And he said, to your point about observing, he said, you know, I went to an event with this guy by the name of Dr. Ron Overstee. And he said to me, before I started practicing, he told me it's going to be X amount of investments for the whole year. And he said it was a big investment. He had no income, student loans, the whole works. But he invested early in his career in coaching and mentoring. So I'm a big believer in you can purchase shortcuts, right?
Let me clarify something about Paul, because Paul hounded me. He went to my seminars in Seattle. He was a student. And he hounded me for 6 months to coach him. And I said, no. I said, Paul, I don't coach students.
Yeah.
Get out and practice. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Call me, you know, but get out and get your feet wet. I don't coach students. And I didn't.
Yeah.
Right? Paul's persistent.
Yeah.
He said, Ron, 6 months, Ron, I've got my office. We're building. This is where I'm going to be. I'm going to my hometown just across the river from where I am in Portland. He's in Vancouver. He said, this is what I'm doing. I know exactly the track I'm going. Yeah. You know, I want to start off, you know, like a rocket. He goes, you're not going to be, I told him, I'm not interested. I don't want students, you know, students, stay a student, you know, get out and do your thing. He's the only student that ever convinced me, because he said, I can afford it. My dad's or whoever's willing to invest in me.
Yeah.
I want to do this. I know what I'm doing. My plan is already there. I don't want to be sinking before I come up, you know, for air. And I said, Paul, if you're committed, then we'll start at this date. And we started at a certain date while there was a student. And he just, Paul is an excellent student.
Honestly, he literally said, he said to me very honestly, his practice has exploded from the word go. Mainly to your point, is whether, you know, whether somebody, you said, if you had to do it again, are going to observe all those practices and having that mentorship and having that coaching. So having coached so many docs and helped so many, and now in a teaching environment, I see it from a marketing perspective. One of the biggest things I see holds docs back actually is peer-to-peer judgment, actually. Just before they do that Facebook Live, in any industry of professionals, it's not so much we're scared of the public a little bit, but we are petrified of what our colleagues think of us sometimes, to step out of our comfort zones, et cetera. That's just my personal opinion with it and the stuff I see. But if I had to ask you that question, what do you think the number one thing that's possibly holding docs back at the moment is, whether it's a mindset issue or it's something, what would you say to that?
Always is. It's the subluxation above Atlas.
Got it.
It's that subconscious mind that's been programmed to whatever it is, that I can't be successful, I have to struggle, money doesn't grow on trees, whatever the programming is. And a lot of times they're not even aware of it, because they can be right, oh, I don't have that. Then why don't you, well, you know, we're the reason why we're not self-realized is because we have something that's holding us back. Mm. And when you can start uncovering those layers, listen, there's two parts to practice. When I was coaching, I would tell my players, you know, that there's two parts, you know, there's the quantum.
Yeah.
Right. And the quantum is the stuff that we just don't see, you know, we can't see or hear, you know, it's really getting that. And then there's the more mechanical part, right? Which is important. That's like, how do you run the practice and what do you do and where do your time slots work? So you can physically be able to manage it. So you're not running into capacity blocks, right? You can teach anybody the mechanics.
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, anyone can get that. but it's the quantum. That's what separates, you know, the good chiropractors from the great chiropractors. And they're all great, I should say, but the ones who aren't realizing their potential, if that's what they feel, it's the quantum. Because the mechanics, you could just switch around and poof, they can go up a little bit. But when you get the quantum right, you know, all of a sudden things just start shifting, your life starts shifting. And the biggest thing that I learned in from my coaching that I was doing was it was about finding balance, you know, for the doctors. I cut down their hours to practice with grow. You've seen this.
Yeah. You know, the less docs do, the less, in my opinion, the less they do, the more they grow in a lot of times. But I mean, by less, I mean having a team around you, growing and focusing on the service and the adjusting and the talking, if you will, as opposed to all the admin and the XYZ, you know. So,
but finding their heart though, but the balance comes into like really getting their heart and their mind together, right? Where they really go to that place where all the things you said before, they're not judging themselves. They beat themselves up. We all did, you know. What, you know, you call up your best friend and say, "What are you seeing?" Right. And they'll say, "Oh, I just saw this week." And you go, "Oh man, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, what do you want to know for it? What good is that going to do you? What I just saw this week?"
Got it.
You know, bottom line is, did you serve from your heart this week? Did you put everything out on the playing field? You know, this week we could have the best basketball player in the world, you know, and that best basketball player might not have ever won a championship. And you know, when they retire, the thing that will haunt them the rest of their life was they didn't win the championship. And then you got these other players who might not have been the best gifted, but they were on multiple championships, or they won one champion, and they are so content. So meaning that just because you're the best doesn't mean that you won't have your demons.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's not about being the best. It's about being content.
Mm.
Being the best you can be, not judge against anybody else. Being the best you could be. Did I give everything I gave, you know, everything I had today, serving my patients today? When I got in practice in Boston, a buddy of mine was in Connecticut. For about 3 months straight, we called each other every night after practice. We were the last phone call. How many people did you see God in today? How many people did you see? Did you actually, you know, experience that universal intelligence within them, that you didn't lose your concentration? Today I went 5 people like in a row, and then I got broken by whatever, to be in the zone, right?
Mm. I mean,
that was my goal. My goal wasn't to see volume. My goal was to be able to be with people and be so absorbed in what I was doing. That we've all had this, that, you know, you walk out at 7 o'clock and you go, "Where are they?" I go, "Doc, you just been serving since 3. You haven't had a break." What? Mm. You know, you lost in service, and you were just right there. You know,
well, I'll tell you that concept you're talking about there is being written about a lot by a lot of psychologists, and they talk about this. They talk about the zone, and they talk about being in flow. And quite literally, being in flow is, like you said, you lose track of the definition. Is often you lose track of time. Musicians talk about it, artists talk about it, and that adjustment set, we just forget about time. It's a wonderful thing. So thank you for the gift. I have been in flow listening to this interview, and I have been, and it's been awesome, you know. So thank you so much. And I truly, I hope that everyone listening was taking notes, because there were some golden phrases there that I promise you, it sounds overplayed, but I truly believe that this is success. It's one little golden nugget at a time. There's a, just that whole health talk golden nugget. You've said it. Changed your practice, grew your practice more than anything. Those little tips there can certainly help someone grow. So we love and appreciate you. We thank you for your service to the profession. We thank you for continuing to serve. I know you're a busy man. It was difficult to make it on this call. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're a legend. And we look, guys, I hope you took some notes. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're learning a lot. Dr. Ron, thank you so much. Any parting words?
Yes. I want to reiterate what you said, Ryan, and that every chiropractor out there, invest in yourself. Invest in you, you know, and your team, always your team, but invest in you, because your team will come and go. You know, you might have some people for life, and that's rare, but it's great, and it can happen to you, but invest in you. So never forget that we are the commodity, you know, that if we don't take care of us and don't invest in us with coaching, with seminars, with, you know, listen, the time to go to seminars is when you get out of school. The time, brush up on your technique, be the best, have that certainty so that you take care of yourself and play. Keep that balance, right? So make sure you get your time to play. You work hard and you play hard, right? And keep that sense of balance and don't forget who you are. You're a spirit at heart. You're a child at heart. You know, you've got a living spirit within you. And if you touch that in with other people and realize that's who's in front of you, you know, you're going to grow a beautiful practice and you're going to do what you're meant to do here on earth, because every single one of us are here for a purpose. And that's to change and alter the direction of every person who's in front of us to a healthier, saner, more congruent lifestyle so that we can create a brighter future for humanity. So, Ryan, I love what you're doing. I love all of you. If I could be of service to any of you, it's roberstein@lifewest.edu. And Ryan, you know where to find me. So appreciate you so much for all you're doing.
I tell you, one of the best things I ever heard was, you don't need to plant weeds for weeds to grow in the mind. It's the lack of planting good stuff in that where the leaves grow, where the weeds grow, right? So this is a mind, that your mind is a garden, and you're literally, your success depends on being at those events. That's my life changed in those events. I'm sure you could tell the same. We all did, right? So you remember, you don't have to plant, anyone listening to this, you don't have to plant weeds for weeds to grow. It's the lack of putting good stuff in there. So Dr. Ron,
there's not one garden, Ryan. There's not one garden in the world that doesn't have weeds. Yeah. There's not one gardener who doesn't, but when you're on top of the weeds and you're planting the good stuff, you deal less with the weeds, and then you're
awesome.
I love you, brother. Thank you so much for all you're doing. Awesome.
Dr. Ron, you rock. Thank you very much.
Okay, brother. Love you. Bye-bye.
Hey docs, thanks for watching the video. I hope it was helpful. If you haven't yet got my book, it's completely free, New Patient Avalanche. It's exactly how I grew my 8 practices, saw 10,000 new patients every single year from the strategies in this book. Everything's in here. It's completely free. All you do is pay for the shipping and the postage. Click on the link. I promise to help your practice grow. See you at the next video.